He'll be returned on the next flight to Iran. The system has already caught more than 25,000 people trying to enter the country illegally. Iris scans ideas by peering into our bodies. But there's a new surveillance technology that can actually see through us in a virtual strip search. It's called backscatter. In this view, a woman appears almost naked, except for a plastic gun and explosive device hidden on her body. When this technology was briefly deployed at the Orlando, Florida airport, it raised privacy concerns and stirred an outcry in the press. Backscatter manufacturers are working on a way to cloak the human body. Until then, the government has put the technology on hold. But backscatter can already do more than screen people. This unmarked van is screening an entire parking lot. Backscatter gives it the power to peer inside parked cars. The technology sees through metal and shows organic compounds like this plastic explosive. Deployed on borders around the world, backscatter is a powerful weapon against smugglers. It can reveal things in an instant that would take a border guard hours to find. Viewed with a regular x-ray, this truckload of fruit in Hong Kong doesn't seem to contain anything suspicious. But backscatter shows heroin. These bright white blocks hidden in the fruit. While it works in ways similar to x-rays, backscatter shows things that regular x-rays miss. On the Guatemalan border, a truck of bananas isn't what it seems. Illegal migrants are clearly visible, huddled beneath the fruit. Backscatter works by shooting high-energy light beams at an object. These high-energy beams penetrate dense objects like metal, but bounce and scatter back when they hit low-density materials like bananas or people. How the light particles scatter back reveals the shape of the object they hit. Even though new technologies can be invasive, they are tightening security where it's needed most. But the next challenge is to survey an entire city. Millions of people, thousands of places, even at night. With technology so powerful, they could end up seeing what they're not supposed to. August 27th, 2004. A protest is underway against the Republican National Convention. Thousands of people mill in the streets. High above, music producer Jeff Rossner is in his 16th floor penthouse. With nothing but night sky above him, Rossner has a wraparound terrace and panoramic views of the city. Tonight, he's entertaining a date.
It was Saturday night. My friend came over and we had a couple of glasses of wine and we had music going and, you know, we were just kind of spending time with each other and enjoying the night.
After a few minutes, Rossner and his friend head outside onto the terrace. On this, as on all other nights, Rossner assumed he was alone outside.
The terrace that I have is completely private. It's 16 floors up. There's no buildings around. I mean, if I'm up here and it's dark, you can't see me.
But tonight, Rossner and his friend are not alone. And they're about to come face to face with the future. 10 miles away, a unique machine is gearing up for a night of surveillance. From this secure location, the New York Police Department Aviation Unit can turn night into day. The challenge is to see through the darkness and detect anything unusual happening in New York City.
Okay, you're good.
This $10 million unmarked Bell 412 EP helicopter comes equipped with the latest infrared technology. Its camera allows them to patrol Manhattan from thousands of feet in the night sky without being seen. The team flies more than 9,000 surveillance missions a year. Led by Deputy Inspector Gallucci, they keep an eye out for crime, terrorist activity, or any sort of trouble.
We do quite a bit of surveillance around the clock. We look for anything that would appear to us to be out of the ordinary, unusual circumstances at sensitive locations.
Cruising at more than 130 knots, it will take only minutes to cover the 10 miles into the city. The surveillance team moves across Brooklyn, tracking their progress on real-time maps. Then, as they approach New York Harbor, they switch on the infrared camera and bring alive an invisible world. No one should be on Liberty Island after dark. The team scans the base of the statue to confirm that no one is. Tonight. From a specially designed surveillance console in the rear of the chopper, they view the Staten Island Ferry as it passes thousands of feet below. Final stop on their way to Manhattan, the Brooklyn Bridge. They zoom in from more than 4 miles away. An onboard computer lets the crew program a target area, like Times Square, into a GPS-guided system. In seconds, they're over their target.
Flying around Manhattan is something that you never get tired of. It's a beautiful sight, but we always have to keep in mind that we're out there with a purpose in mind, but we're not taking a tourist ride.
Everybody gives off heat, and the surveillance chopper can track an individual from thousands of feet away, usually without them knowing. On the evening of August 27th, the protests continue far below Jeff Rosner's apartment, and the NYPD infrared chopper monitors the event.
We were out there just monitoring the situation for crowd control purposes, and part of what we do is to surveil rooftops to make sure that there's nothing unusual going on top of the buildings surrounding the event.
The helicopter scans the neighborhood looking for problems. Meanwhile, Rosner's date is going well.
It was a really kind of special evening with this woman. It was just a beautiful night.
The police film rooftop after rooftop. No signs of trouble. But then, something unexpected. As the chopper hovers over Rosner's roof, its camera reveals two people who clearly aren't interested in the protest. The camera stays over the roof and keeps recording for nearly 4 minutes. Months later, Rosner is stunned when a local television news reporter knocks on his door and shows him the footage.
And it pissed me off. And I thought, this is wrong, man. This is really bad. I'm glad the technology exists so it can protect me. But it saddened me to know that while a great thing, it can be misused. And the fact that it actually happened and I was the one that was in the eyesight, just like, hey, dude, do me a favor. Turn the camera off. Get out of my face. You know, this is my life. This is my night. You don't need to be here. Don't violate me.
To Rosner, this is an abuse of surveillance technology. But the police disagree.
Our intention is never to invade anyone's privacy. It's a matter of the police doing their job to try to protect the citizens. If some people determine that to be a violation of their rights and liberties, life has changed. This is a post 9/11 world, and this is the way policing needs to be done now.
When the footage aired on the news, some felt that Rosner and his date's privacy was violated. But as technologies become more sophisticated, this is just the beginning. The tools of surveillance already go well beyond infrared cameras. And the police aren't the only ones watching us. Governments, law enforcement, and corporations use our own everyday objects to record our activities. Cell phones can track our movements through transmission towers and satellites.
The cell phone physically tracks us. It sits in our pocket, drawing a little map of where we've been and where we're going.
Nearly every technology we use, from the swipe of an electronic key card in a door, to the scan of an easy pass at a toll booth, to the internet browser on our computers, leaves an electronic trail.
We have devices and payment systems which leave behind little trails, like contrails behind jet planes. And surveillance in the 21st century now means picking up those trails and following right behind us in our footprints, or even leaping ahead and predicting where we're going to be before we get there.
Using a technique called data mining, companies and governments feed these small details about our daily lives into massive data banks. Where you went to school, what you bought yesterday, what ails you, how much you've saved for retirement, even where your demons lie. This information and much more is available to those who know how to look.
Instead of the one big secret we don't want revealed, it's the million pieces of tiny little bits of information adding up to a digital image of ourselves, very refined, very precise, very predictable. If you know where I have been at 3:15 in the afternoon for the last 250 days, you can make very good guesses at where I'm going to be at 3:15 in the afternoon tomorrow. And if you know where I'm going to be at 3:15 in the afternoon tomorrow, there's almost nothing you can do.
Already, surveillance technologies are everywhere. But perhaps the ultimate device won't watch us from the outside. It will live inside our bodies, with the power to reveal not just who we are, but everything we do. The future of surveillance is hiding in plain sight at the Baja Beach Club in Rotterdam, Holland. This may look like a regular party, but it's no normal club. The Baja has an elite group of special VIPs who are different from other clients. They need no identification and no cash to buy drinks or food. To enter the club, all they have to do is offer up an arm to a scanner. And tonight, 21-year-old Ryoni Shooten will be joining the in crowd.
I just do it because it's more comfortable. They will bring you the drinks and food instead of you going to the bar to get it.
But before he can party, Ryoni has a doctor's appointment. He's getting an electronic chip implanted in his arm. It's called radio frequency identification. An RFID chip is a small device that transmits a radio signal that's read by a scanner. In 2003, the Attorney General of Mexico and some of his staff received RFID implants inside their bodies to allow them access to sensitive areas. While it's not yet commonplace, Ryoni's doctor has implanted nearly 100 chips.
At first I have some doubt, of course, because you are putting chips in healthy young people. But I think it's the future.
Each tiny chip has a number. A scanner connected to a database can instantly reveal who the person is and much more. Technically, there's no limit to the information the database can hold.
This is the needle with which I'm gonna implant the chip.
The chip itself is little larger than a grain of rice. It will remain inside Ryoni's body for the rest of his life, or until he undergoes surgery to have it removed. Ryoni will need an anesthetic before the procedure. The chip is implanted just millimeters below the skin. If it goes in too close to the muscle could be damaged, and Ryoni will feel the chip when he moves. If all goes well, he won't even know it's there.
Okay. Get the needle out and we're ready.
The procedure is over in seconds. And now it's time to party. Although others have to pay cash at the entrance, when Ryoni arrives, his name and number instantly identify him as a VIP member of the club. He makes his way to the VIP deck and uses his implant to buy a drink. The Baja is a glimpse of a not-so-distant future. Already, some people have chips with critical health information. Some think that soon everyone will have a chip that will identify them and allow a new form of surveillance. Joe Van Galen manages the club and likes to keep an eye on everyone, especially his chipped VIPs.
I think that in 20 years, it will be a normal thing. I think when you get born, you get a chip. And it will stay in your body for the rest of your life, and you get all kind of information on it. So if you got a problem, they read the chip and then they know who you are.
Implanted ID chips may be just the beginning. Future chips could be coupled with GPS tracking technology, making it possible to locate anyone, anytime, anywhere. Parents and pet owners are already using external GPS units to keep track of their loved ones. In the U.S., approximately 7,500 criminals are monitored by GPS. And these devices are only getting smaller. Although GPS implants aren't currently available, it might be only a matter of time before every criminal, perhaps even every citizen, has an ID chip. Once the stuff of science fiction, these surveillance technologies are becoming reality. But the more amazing they get, the more controversies they create. In the name of security, societies around the world are struggling to redraw the line between surveillance and privacy.
The bill before me will help law enforcement to identify, to dismantle, to disrupt, and to punish terrorists before they strike.
Just months after the 9/11 attacks, President Bush secretly ordered the government to listen in on some Americans' phone calls without getting warrants. Technically, snooping on communications is not difficult. Almost every phone call, fax, and email passes through a network of towers and satellites. This digital data can be intercepted with listening dishes or by using spy satellites. The U.S. alone has more than 30,000 eavesdroppers scattered around the world, working with at least 100 spy satellites. Every 3 minutes, they collect enough information to fill the Library of Congress. Governments tell us these technologies make us safer. But where is it all leading? More than ever, authorities say we need surveillance in a dangerous and wired world. Even 500,000 cameras couldn't stop the London bombings. New technologies like IV implants, iris scans, and facial recognition have the power to reveal anyone who has committed a crime or crossed a border illegally. But they also have the power to invade our privacy. In the future world of total surveillance, there may be nowhere to hide.